Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. I'm he and you're not me and hey Aunt B and we are all together. I'm so glad to be with you. Join me now as we provide comfort for one another, as we relieve our burdens together here. It's like a room for relieving burdens, and there's stalls, and I can talk to you through the wall of the stall. I hope you have success in there, my friend. Oh, thank you for joining me, and I'm joining you, and so that we are one. We're not one. We're not one. We are one agent in a set. But we are, and then Hardy White listeners are a subset, you see, of all people. Now, Hardy, are you in that subset of Hardy White listeners? Do you listen to yourself? I don't know. I think I do. I'd like to think I listen to myself, but a lot of times I think I'm ignoring myself because of just blah, 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 blah. Who knows what I'm saying? I have two different, the me inside, like during the show, goes off and does petty point. Or does something else, like decoupage, or one of those fine hobbies. I wish there was a book you could get, say, list of hobbies that are best for you. Because maybe there's a hobby out there I don't even know about. Rug hooking. I went the first 11 years of my life not knowing what it was. And when I finally found it and was able to make a rug that was a flag motif peace sign, I felt so satisfied. Or needlepoint. Whatever it takes to relax. Oh, what a hard life it is. No one's going to begrudge you doing a little needlepoint, if that's what it takes. So it was like a drug to me, Hardy. I'm going, looking for different yarns and bad sections of town. I'll go there. So could I get, I need the kind of silvery kind. What you're working on? I don't know. It's like some it's a Chinese scene or something. I don't even know. But the clouds have a little bit of silver in them. I only need one of those little... Those little needlepoint, they're not like big yarn spools. You could smuggle them in if you needed to. If they were illegal and you had to bring them in from another country, like New Jersey or something, just put them just gently against yourself. That's what I want to do to you, is put myself gently against you. Not in a weird way. But I just think this. What can we all do for one another? Well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what the meaning of life is and all that and ethics and all. But until then, I think I'm just going to have a couple simple rules. Calm down and be gentle with one another. There is a thing they do in the end of life called palliative care. Let's say you're dying. They say, oh, there's nothing we can do to heal you. But we'll have palliative care, which is we're going to give you pain drugs and mop your forehead and talk to you and say, do you want me to read to you out of one of these old magazines or something? You know, whatever. And that we do that for one another. Say, oh, well, I can relieve your burden. Oh, I know how tough it must be. What I think we should do is have palliative care for life. Because, my goodness, that's really the hard part. Not that it's not hard to die, but that's really the short trip. That's the little shuttle between the plane and the airport or something. But life, that's a long train trip. That's a slog. So we need something to comfort us. We need a pillow. We need some kind of cushion for our bottom. I remember when I was young, my mother had this donut-shaped pillow. I said, what's that for, Mama? She goes, that's so I could sit down because I got the hemorrhoids. That's in the Bible even. They call it hemorrhoids or something like that. Why? Because the Bible is in the original Cockney. But that's what they mean, is hemorrhoids. It's even in there. It's a curse they give to somebody. So if you can't even sit down, it robs you of that simple pleasure of sitting in front of your computer at work for 12 hours. So what do? You get a pillow that just takes into account your swollen exit and say, I'm all... Take some pressure off of that so that doesn't have to be pressing down onto your Henry Miller Enron chair. I wish I had one of those. I sit in a nasty old wicker bottom, kind of caned bottom old chair that's the wrong size. Looks like a children's chair. It was my granny's, and she used it for decoration. So I can say, anybody sit in that? That's a decoration chair. What? Doesn't it make any sense? It looks like a regular chair, like the song says, from a distance. But you get up on it and say, that's an illusion. That's just a tiny chair that can't be sat upon. And if it had a cushion, it still couldn't manage it. It's like, it's not big enough for the bottom, like a bicycle seat. I think, how's that supposed to go? Is my bottom supposed to go on that? Because I think it could possibly absorb it. And I don't want to do that. I'm not smuggling it. It's not needlepoint yarn. There's no reason for that to be there. So I want to be a cushion for you. Can I get you a cushion? What kind? People say to me, Hardy, there's all type of pillows. No one's ever said that to me, by the way. I'm lying. I think it's something politicians say. It's a logical fallacy or something. Just the other day, an American citizen said to me, I'm fed up with, and then they say some lie that they want you to believe. And that's, my lies, I feel like I'm not profiting from them. So I think that's okay. They're free lies. Is there a difference, Hardy? Yes, definitely. The lying that doesn't count is when I don't know I'm lying. Yes, that does count in a way, but I'll get back to that. Footnote that for me, will you? Is there a way to do that? Boom. Like that, like your phone does that every once in a while. It makes a bloopy sound. What was that? Mine does it at night to frighten me. And also my alert sound is a blood-curdling scream. So I don't know why I did that. To fool myself, I guess. Maybe to make life more exciting. But life is exciting enough sometimes, and what we actually need is a cushion or something soft. I want to do that metaphorically. I want to take your heart. Friend, listen, my life has not been easy. For me, it's super easy, objectively. Super duper easy. Really getting off very lightly as far as life. But for me, it's been difficult. Say, what is that? That doesn't make any sense. Of course it does. Of course it does, or they wouldn't have different length tees at the golf course. You see what I'm saying? They got a ladies tee, a men's tee, a pro ladies tee. Have a tee for X-Men. They got a really close-up for tee for X-Men whose mutation doesn't help golf in any way. In fact, is a hindrance. They have that. So, you see, they take that into account. They handicap you. We are all handicapped somehow. Some of us are handicapped by our advantages. I don't know if you could just do that. I think if something can be flipped like that algebraically, it's not true. We know that. So you can't just take things, say, I'm going to change the meaning by making it the opposite. I'm glad we have people who are contrarian. I'm not. Do that to them. Say that to them and get them. They'll short circuit. Get them to argue against themselves, and they'll oblige, and then they'll disappear, and will it form a black hole so tiny that it doesn't matter? Some people collapse under the weight of their own BS, and you can but get a faint odor. What is that? Oh, that's a bullcrap black hole that you're smelling. It's floating around in space. Somebody finally collapsed under the force of their own falseness. Is that a word? The reason I could look up every word I say. Oh, how long that would take. And I do have to because this is not my native language. I'm not a native speaker, as you can tell, native speaker of English. When I was born, I had no language. And this English one is one that was taught to me. And I learned it quickly and fluently because I was a baby. I should have jammed another one in there, another language. I didn't have exposure to one, though. Didn't have exposure. I just had exposure to different kind of accents. Go, here's a different accent. Well, do this one. This is Georgia. And this one, Philadelphia. Oh, can I pick? Can I put together my own? That's what I'd like to do. Do I have to speak in a certain way? Can I pick the way I speak? Oh, no. It's all subconscious, except that you make choices. Okay. Didn't realize that. You can cheat. You can speak whatever. Try it. People go, I can't speak. This is why I speak. Say speak. Say, let's just say water. And then say water. And then say water. And all like that. And you go, oh, yes, I can physically do it. And so you got it's got to be a choice at some level, right? You can, no, I don't know, man. I don't know what is choice and what is not. And we're going to explore that in a minute after I stop talking about pillows. I don't know why I'm so concerned with that. I guess because it's a good metaphor for what I want to be for you. It's a pillow, my friend. It's a pillow. I want you to lay your, not literally lay your head on me, because I, not because I don't love you, because I don't, hair, who knows what's in it a lot of times. I'm a bit of a lassophobe. And I don't mean to make a nitpick. Go ahead, make a nitpick pun. I know you won't. Get it out of there. That's what we always like to do with the children on the first day. So go ahead, get you all your wiggles out of the way. Let everybody squirm and wiggle and get your puns done. Get it out so that we can talk about something. Oh, my friends, a pillow. There's so many different kinds and people have preferences. Do you want to lay your head upon something firm like a Posturepedic memory foam? It's so funny because I think there's got to be something in quantum physics now. Say memory, we've discovered it isn't gravity loops, it's memory foam. Something. Oh, wow, because my mattress company invented that. Did you not know that? Why? Well, because in the old days, if you set a wine glass on an ordinary spring mattress and then you jumped upon one end of it, the wine glass would topple. So a man was thinking, how can I change that so that the glass stays put and doesn't spill its wine upon the mattress if I'm jumping on one end of it? And it came up with something. Now, some of us like a softer pillow that we don't want to lay our head on. We want to lay our head on the pillow and feel like it's melting into custard or something. How that supports your head, I do not know. But some people like that. Some people want a long pillow they can hug, call it a Dutch wife, which is, I don't know why that sounds awful to me. I guess because I think of a Dutch oven, which has many, many, many meanings. But Dutch anything is, I don't know, Dutch doors. Uncle Dutch or something, that's not any. Dutch uncle is something. You can put Dutch in front of anything, it sounds sort of dubious. Whether is that bad or anything? What's he's got a Dutch piano? What does that mean exactly? But anyway, the pillow says something about the person. Hotels, you will notice, give you a choice now. Say we got a pillow, we got three types of pillow on the bed, and then in the minibar we have a chilled pillow. If you like that sort of thing. Because sometimes you can't find, you run out of cold side. Oh, how many times have I run out of cold side? What an awful place that is. I run from it. I flee from it towards the warmth of a fellow human being. We just want somebody, what we're looking for is just somebody who's thinking exactly like us to help us out. You don't go looking for a crazy person, right? Do you? That's interesting. All our brains work differently, though. And what one might consider comfort, another might consider torture, and vice versa. If you feel like you're a bad person, I've been a bad person, Hardy. And I'm not happy unless I feel like I'm sacrificing something, that my life is a little bit difficult, and then I feel like, all right, that's punishment for me not being a good person. I want you, just as an experiment, stop that forever. Just as an experiment, everybody stop punishing themselves in the name of a higher being or a higher principle just for a minute. No, forever. And then let's just see what happens. Because if you just do it for a little while, it's not a high enough sample or whatever. So please get off your back. Oh, I'm a monkey on my own back. Hardy, oh, I'm a monkey on my own back. I climbed on my back looking for a pillow, and then I got stuck, biting my neck, biting my ears, clawing my scalp. There's a monkey on my back, Hardy, and it's me. It's coming out of me. It's my inner monkey. Get it off of me. There's something on Ka's back. Doesn't like Ka, doesn't like it. What? Hey, I want you to get, first of all, I would love to help you and comfort you, but I need that other you to get out of here, all right? Because she's a third wheel, and she's cramping our style. Negative you. Just tell her, let's fool her. That's what. Let's just send her out for something, and then we'll leave. Let's do that. Because I just want, oh, I want your heart. I don't want to see you in pain. And I know some of that pain comes from the outside, and we can block it with our pain shields. I like to use my imagination sometimes. Say, well, aren't you worried you're going to get lost in your own delusions, Hardy? What if the world you create becomes permanent and indiscernible from the real world? Well, you know, that's happened to those I love. Sometimes our brains rebel. And I'd like to talk about that for a minute because I found a book this week that I've become very fond of. Did you ever be looking in somebody's house, going through their house, looking for things real quick, and your eye suddenly settles upon an old book? You go, I don't know why I want this, but I want it, and you take it. Then you hear the doorknob start to turn. You go, I better get out of here. And so you quick dash out, and really all that you get is that book. And you take it home, and you think, first of all, I can't look at it for a while because I'm still nervous that it'll give me away. It'll know. It'll yell for its owner. No, I came upon it legitimately. I did not steal it from my neighbor's house while he's away at a go-kart tournament. But I did come by it, and it's a book called, and it's a French title, it's called Ethique Pathologique, or Pathological Ethics, or something like that. And it's subtitled Moral Rules for the Insane. And it's very interesting. What it is, you know, some people don't see the world. If something happens to your brain, you are really, I mean, I hate to tell you this, a bit of a slave of your brain, which is wonderful because you are also the master. So it's all going on in there in that gooey material, more or less. And how it goes on, we don't exactly know. But we know that if you take a lot of the gooey material away, it goes on differently. So if you have damage to your brain, you can become what they call a different person. You will act differently and feel differently and perceive the world differently. Sometimes this happens to us through accident or sometimes through injury. And then we may have hallucinations and we may see things that appear real. Now, how are we supposed to use our old ethics for this new reality? So for every reality and every perception, we must have a rule book of how to behave. How do you treat your hallucination elephants? Do you treat them with kindness? Or do you say they're hallucinations, so I'm going to stab them? Oh, but there they are suffering. Now the hallucinations are suffering. So we need to have some sort of rules. And this man who wrote this book, and I can't read, you're going to get mad at me because I don't know how to pronounce the name. All right, because this happened to me with Smetana. All right, I was like, is it Smetana or something? Smetana. So Smetana didn't write this. This is a composer. But I'm saying, who's Smetana and Carlos Santana did put out an album called Smetana. I don't know if you can find it. It's very, very rare. The rarest things are sometimes the best things. That's what now restaurants say. We have to warn you before we give you something that's rare. All right, I understand that it doesn't stand for the whole. Yes, this is an outlier. This is not the mean. This is not the median. This is the crazy cut of meat at the end that's all bloody. What were we talking about? Bloody meat. Oh, were we? I think we were talking about being different in hearts and comforting. Oh, I hope that I'm there for you. That's the only thing I care about. Is that my best story should be distracting to you. Once upon a time, I tell you a story about a pillow. Things that are soft are wonderful. If I want to take your heart metaphorically and put it in the softest thing there is. So let's say that's what I do in my imagination. So I imagine a heart and I go, what is that heart, the softest thing ever? Toilet tissue? On the commercials say toilet tissue is almost like a cloud. And then they show it getting stuck to the bottom of a furry. So I don't know what that's all about. But that toilet tissue could be one. Cotton is awfully soft. Put your heart in cotton in a box special. You know, they have hat boxes that are shaped for it. A hat-shaped box. I put you in a Kurt Cobain-shaped box. Bless his heart. Lined with toilet tissue. Now, I try to back that up and say, well, what does that represent then? What is the toilet tissue grungeman? Someone who plays grunge is a grungeman. Shaped box. What does that mean? And that just means that I want to at least be gentle and kind to you. If I can't solve your problems, I won't add to them. How about that? That is all. That's what I'll promise you. I promise not to add to your problems. I can't be responsible of you having a dream about me where now you're mad at me, or I can't be responsible for saying something.
He said something negative about soft pillows, and I have to disagree, and I think I've lost respect for him.
Have you really?
Indeed I have, because it pointed out how different Hardy White must be from me.
Because of the pillow thing?
Yes. I mean, I seriously prefer a very soft pillow.
Then it will blow you away to know that there were ancient Egyptians. Well, that blows you away right there. Egyptians. I should not do this show when I haven't taken some kind of medication to keep me from mispronouncing things. Ancient Egyptians, I said it again. It must be because the next word I'm going to say has an E sound in it. Had a type of a pillow, but it was really like an alabaster neck stand or something. So they would just, it wasn't soft at all. It was made out of something hard, stone or wood or something, and they just lay their neck upon it. Isn't that something?
They don't have those anymore.
Ancient Egyptians? No, they don't. By definition, they don't. They do have Egyptians, but not ancient ones. And they were, coincidentally, or uncoincidentally, or non-ironically, or unironically, or coincidentally, a different culture as well. Modern Egyptians do not build pyramids for their kings, or for that fella, who was that archaeologist who got angry all the time? I miss him. He had a, just move him over to Duck Dynasty. Angry Egyptian archaeologist. I don't know why, he just,
you destroyed.
Like that, he'd get mad at
the duck, we were going to look at it.
I mix things up, makes poetry. Anytime you take something like a pillow and you add something to it, like a trip to the circus, you have a poem. And I would like to read you now from my trip to the pillow circus. Wake up, wake up. It's time to go early in the morning. We must get there first to get our tickets to the pillow circus. Should we bring our pillows, I asked. No, the father replied, no. The pillow circus has that. There's no poem. I'm digging myself deeper and deeper, lying to you. I hate to do that. I say, well, you were going good. You should have just kept making it. I know, but I looked down. That happens, too, when you're making things up. You look down, you go, oh, there's no paper in front of me. I'm working without a net. I say, well, many people have successfully worked without a net. Carl Wallenda. Yeah, that's a Croesus kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, you successfully work without a net until you do not successfully do it, is what I'm thinking. So I will just keep going until I fail. And that's what, isn't that like life? You die at the end. I would like to die at the end, I think. I was thinking, I was almost said I wouldn't. But you know what? It's not that I'm bored. I know life gets exciting. But it doesn't really get exciting in the happy way as much as it does in the sad way. I mean, I'm loving life and everything. I'm just saying that the super happy surprise part is gone. And now I'm content with the just tiny little pleasant surprises. But I don't feel like what I did as a child, you know, you get a gift or something. And I think it comes with ignorance. Hopefully I might get that way again as I become, you know, a little less aware or something. But who knows? We can't predict the way that our brains will break down, and they will. So, why don't you share some of this book? I will. I will do that. I've got to find it. It's around here somewhere. Could you, let me ask my assistant, could you go get me that book, the ethics book I was reading?
The one with the old one?
Yeah, the old one. It says ethic,
I don't know how to spell that.
I don't either. It's French. I don't even want to try to pronounce it. Je parle français comme un vache espagnol.
I think that's a little bit racist.
To the cow? To the Spanish? Or to the Spanish cows?
I don't know. I'll get the book.
Okay, so he's going to get the book. There's no other person. That was me. Isn't that interesting? I realized long ago that I could talk to myself like that. So if I was going to talk to myself, why don't I make the person I talk to gentle and kind and wise? Why make the voice in my head angry and critical? And a lot of you have chosen Bert the Lancaster from Sesame Street, or have they, that one. Say, negative, negative, negative. Because his brow, you can tell from his brow. What are they saying about Bert? Saying Bert is Eastern European, and therefore he's cranky all the time. And I don't know if that's super fair. And Ernie, his little friend, he's all orange. I don't know where he's hard to know because he tans. And Bert is yellow. And what is your skin tone, my friend? I don't know. A lot of white people think they're pink. But I think if you took a piece of their skin and you held it up to if you took it over to the paint store and you say, can you match this? Run it through the computer. What an interesting experiment. Take a piece of your skin, a chunk of your skin off, and take it over to the paint store, and they can scan it and see what color you really are. And then go buy your Mason Williams paint color. Say, what am I? What am I, Martha, or the Martha Reese? What's her name? Martha Jones, the designer. She's got her own paint line. Let's take everything and make it more muted. And that'll be that's what I call my colors. Hardy, I want a Hardy paint line, too. I'm going to look into it. If I get super famous, boy, my name's going to go on everything. Everything. Because I need the money. No, I don't think it would. Would I like that? I'd like to see my face on some chocolates or something on the box, not on the actual chocolate. It always comes out distorted, but I'm eating hearty. Ooh, yeah, I don't want that. But I would like to see, or on, I don't know, something I really do like, a product I really believe in, like some kind of candy. I'm not anti-candy. I'm not. I like a little sweetness. It helps me think, too. The sugar helps me think. And then, after I'm done thinking, I always get depressed, and my teeth feel funny. I don't know if you're like that. Oh, I'm going to get this book. Here's the book now. Now, again, this is the premise. The premise is, apparently, and I don't know if it was written by the insane or for the insane or what, but it's these beautiful. I found them very beautiful, a lot of the rules and everything. So I'll read you. Here's one. A lot of them start, have an if-then, kind of like a logical, like a syllogism kind of setup. Isn't that what that is? I don't know. If the foot of your bed is encircled by Manchus clad in bright silk and playing musical instruments, let them play if the tune is unfamiliar and beautiful, but dismiss them immediately if they play with malice or shrill noises. That sounds understandable. If you're hallucinating some kind of band of brightly clad figures, let them finish. But then, put your foot down and say, I need some rest. Please go away. Go away. And then you may be firm with them like that. And that is not immoral or bad or wrong or anything. I think that's what the author is saying. This one addresses Capgras delusion, which is when you think that somebody you know has been replaced by an exact duplicate. This could happen with frontal lobe damage. So if your husband or wife is replaced with a duplicate, do not lash out. The duplicate, the double, may be unwitting and just as frightened and confused as you. This could be. So if you say, oh, someone, that's not my husband, someone's taking his place, that someone may have nothing to do with it, may not be in on the conspiracy, and so treat them with respect and speak gently. Isn't this interesting? Oh, I wish I'm going to try to put some, I'll put some links up on the link. And we'll do that. Oh, I said link. The way that my imagination works is when I do say something, some words have so many connotations for me. And they're so different. So I said link. So I think the internet, but then I think golf, and then I think link from Mod Squad. And link is third. I always think Mod Squad link. Always. And that's just because of my age and everything. I doubt somebody 20 would go, oh, like Link, like the Mod Squad. And that's not how 20-year-olds talk either. Yeah, it is. I'm 20. All right. But they might not make that association. Isn't that funny? So when you're talking to an old person, Just keep in mind that when you say Lipton, I think Peggy.
Not the tea.
Or not James Lipton. What is the one that talks to all the celebrities and all? Lipton. Well, let me read you some more from that. I loved just reading you from a book, because then I don't have to think or anything. But I do have to then comment on it. I don't want to do a book on tape, because I'll tell you why. Nobody has tapes. So I was approached, said, do you want to do a book on tape? No, thank you. And they said, how about an audio book? And that I have to think about. I don't know what format is it going to be on. And they said, Laserdisc. And I said, that's the big ones, right? Sometimes the job offers I get are while I'm time traveling. I lose track, and I end up calling my contact 20 years too late. And they go, oh, no, thanks, we're good. I said, well, what do I do with all these beta tapes? I think, no, that's more than 20 years ago, isn't it? I've lose track of time. Older people also do that, lose track of time. So you should always get old people a watch and say, I know y'all have trouble with time. Here. They'll love that. I'm going to read more from the book, from Ethique Patrilotique. If you are a god, be humble and tell no one. Likewise, a demon, because at the least it will overwhelm the mortal. Yeah, so if you think maybe, oh, I'm a god or some kind of a demon or something, don't tell anybody. You're just going to scare people or intimidate them. What's the point? What's the point in telling people you're a god? Right? That's how you know somebody isn't a very good god, if they're telling you, I'm a god. If they need to tell you, then they're not a very good god. A sultan's caravan passes by, either in front of your way or by your window or in front of your chair. Animals you can smell, camels and horses, the thud of their hooves you feel and hear, but there's no sense in asking them to stop the parade to hold it down. They can't hear you over the din, and also the sultan is a powerful man, more powerful than the mayor of Vieques. That is so true. That is so true. If you see a hallucinate, well, you don't know if you're hallucinating, but if a parade goes by your window, whether it's real or not, whether it's a hallucination or not, shouting, stop the parade, be quiet, will do no good. So there's no point. So just try to take a deep breath and inhale the smell of the camels and the horses. Okay, here's another one. If your body becomes alien, sometimes this will happen to people. Say, oh, my arm feels like a dead tree trunk. If your body becomes alien, stay calm. If the right side or left side of everything disappears, look for it surreptitiously so as not to alarm others in case they haven't noticed. These are just rules. It's almost like Confucius for the confused, isn't it? These are just basic rules to do if the world suddenly is completely different. Because we sort of know what to do now, but if things start manifesting out of midair, all of a sudden George Washington wasn't there and now he's standing in front of me playing, I don't know what he's playing because I can't tell the difference between a concertina and an accordion. But there he's playing it and it's not making any noise. Oh, and now he's gone. Now, how do I behave towards him? See, I didn't learn that in any, the Bible doesn't state. Sometimes it has hallucinations in it, though, just to let you know. You know, are you an angel or not, or what should I do? It's got talking donkeys. So the Bible, you ought to read it. I know a lot of people read books about it. I have had discussions with people where it's clear they have read many, many books about the Bible, but haven't actually read the original text, which is interesting. That's fine. That's fine. I don't know if they think they won't understand it or whatever. I have read it. I said, what's your opinion? I don't know. It's complicated. It's like any book. I don't understand exactly what I read. And my word, that's when a lot of people have imagined so much that goes along with it that I have no idea how they see it. Can't even have common language for some things because people see them so differently. Here's some of the headings. I'll just read some of the headings of the chapters. The rules of music without source, good behavior in shadowing men in trench coats, man's obligation to man who wasn't there a minute ago, forgetting and unremembering, repairing memories. Well, that's very interesting. I don't know anything about that repairing memories thing. I'll have to look into that. If by dancers you mean the ones who are at the foot of your bed, scarves waving and heads in constant motion, a blur, swirling and waving and tumbling like water fountains, the silent dancers, then yes, send the dancers away after several minutes. You have the right to not observe as much as they have the right to be observed. So again, that's similar to the Manchu musicians. Old monks or old men who suggest punishment are confusing you with someone else, or they would not be angry, since anger is often associated with confusion. They are also afraid. Oh, that's very interesting. So if there's some old figure in your head, like some old monk or some old voice, and it's chastising you, and it's angry, then it's confused. Therefore, it's probably not you it's talking to. So ignore any negative voices in your head. Here's one. You are not alone unless you want to be. If you want to be, say, I am alone. Here's one. Often small objects with faces are alive. Treat living things that don't have to eat with gentle patience, keeping in mind that many are unable to move on their own. Now, this is true with teddy bears or anything. Always respect, line them up and say, I'll be right back. To all your stuffed creatures. And if you treat them with kindness, and I think that you could at the very least treat other creatures with kindness who are slightly more sentient. If dogs or pets speak, do not interrupt them or ask questions of them. They may just be looking for a sympathetic ear. Often dogs represent the ear in other religions. I did not know that. A young man runs up but doesn't say anything. This, therefore, should not concern you. If it does, look for signs of alarm. If there are others in your mind, make sure it is your mind. Well, that's nice. If your brain fails to retrieve a memory, or if the memories return in the wrong order, what is right or well or good may not immediately show itself, but may require immediate action in spite of the lack of information. In this case, a general rule for confusion is that the reaction should always be a smile and a clap of the hands. Oh, I already do that. I already do that. Oh, my goodness, I love it. Oh, my word, I like that one. You know, something that liberated me, and maybe this will help you, I don't know, is at some point I thought, oh, Hardy, you're just an idiot. You know, you're not special or strong or super smart or important or anything like that. And I was down on myself. And then I realized that a lot of the times I was making tension for myself by trying to prove that I was something I was not, stronger, smarter, trying to hide my weakness. I was trying to hide my weakness so much that I was getting aggressive with people. I was clashing with people, not so always that they would notice, all right? But somebody tells a story, and then you got to tell one that makes you look good. Sometimes it's very subtle. But then I started feeling like I got as low as I could get, saying maybe I'm just as dumber than everybody. And then I thought, oh, that's so liberating. I don't have to compete with anyone. And then I felt as if I were a dead man. And I said, dead man's got nothing to prove. I don't have to brag or nothing. I can just be pure me. And you'll notice that a lot of people want to write memoirs or publish them after they die. Look at Chateaubriand. Isn't that a steak? He was a man, too, Chateaubriand. And he had a great, I recommend the his autobiography. But he's like, I want this, I got to be dead. I'm going to call this memoir from the grave, up out of the tomb. Because I can't say all the things that I want to say while I'm alive. I can't deal with the consequences. Isn't that interesting? I can't be truthful until I'm gone, until I have nothing to, no pony in the horse race grave. So, I don't know, excuse me. So isn't that interesting? So I felt like, well, why wait till I'm dead? Why not take myself out of the competition right now? And why not just be able to communicate with you as another equal, as another being? saying, oh man, I know how that is. I know how suffering is. I've failed too. Not more or less than you. I'm just here to keep you company. Man, no advice. No advice. Don't take advice from me. I got none. I have advice, but it's not for you. It's just general, and I'm mainly talking to myself. But if eavesdropping on my internal conversation is at all helpful for you, take what you need. Take a penny, leave a penny ideas. I've said that from the beginning. Take a penny, leave a penny ideas. Take a penny, leave a penny emotions. Take what you need, leave what you can. That's communism. No, it's a penny jar. For Lord's sake, can't we have a penny jar without it being political? Take one, leave one. I mean, you don't have to. Look, none of this is a have to, any ought. Nothing's going to, you know, you don't necessarily get struck down for being evil. I'm asking you to behave in the same way that I ask all my stuffed animals to behave in my kingdom. I'm Lord and King, but I'm a good, benevolent king. And all I ask is that you don't hurt me. All right, I won't make you do anything or that. So all my ethics are just my distorted reality based. I'm just asking you. I have no idea in the grand scheme of things what people should or shouldn't do. I just don't feel like it's my place. But, you know, I have, like, don't murder. I'm fine with. Don't do that, especially me or people I love. I guess if I don't know about it, what am I going to do? Oh, my friends, if you have the mem... Here's one I don't understand. And maybe you can help me. If you have the memory of a kindness done to you as a child, check on that memory regularly and replace or repair it as needed. Now, how would you replace or repair a memory? I don't know how to go about doing that. I thought they were irreplaceable and irreparable memories. Perhaps not. Maybe they're different parts of your brain. You know, procedural memory would be somewhere different than some kind of explicit memory. Implicit, not the kind. If you do not remember what happened 10 minutes ago, it is possible that the world was created 10 minutes ago as it was 10 minutes ago. Or if the memory stopped a year ago, a year ago. Even if this is true, it doesn't really change things very much. It doesn't. You see, if you're dropped into a war or something, it doesn't really matter who started it at that point. People go, oh, to understand a situation, you must understand the history of that situation. Only if you want to completely undo it, but not if you want to win. If I come down and look at a chessboard, all I have to learn, I don't have to know how you got it that way to come in and have one side win. You see what I'm saying? I guess I'd have to know how you got it that way if I wanted to reverse it. But not if I wanted to take it off in a different direction. I don't need to know. I can just look at it, see what it is, and say, what do you want the solution to be? So then I can do that with war, too. Show me a war situation, say, oh, hard to resolve it. And I'll say, all right, let me see the situation, and I'll tell you how one side should be obliterated. They go, no, we don't want that. I go, oh, I can't help you then. Sorry, I thought that's what you meant. My win, I don't know. How do you bring peace? I think to bring peace, we got to like back it all up again. But that's hard. So let's not even start the chess game. And man, I will distract. I will do my job. I'm talking now to other people who are involved in the same conspiracy as I. I will distract this person over here so they can't make war. And you try to get one too. And we'll each distract them. Just like it's like I love Lucy. And I don't want Ricky Ricardo to go in that bedroom and see that fur coat I bought. So he starts going to the door and oh, I got something to show you over here, a new dance I got for the show.
Very good.
No, don't go in there. They just sprayed for bugs. Sprayed for bugs? That's not something they do yet here. Because also Fred Mertz is a cheapskate. And everything's covered with cockroaches. They're up in the walls because it's an old building. And when you take the stove away, you can see them scurry. Up where the hood is. Oh,
what?
Oh, that's Ricky again. No, I'm blocking the... Don't go in. The bedroom isn't there anymore. Etha was messing with a time machine, and so now it's just empty space. She'll be back in a minute, and when she's back, she'll just walk through it.
You mean our bedroom is a TARDIS?
Like that, he says. He had adenoids. Richard Ricardo. Is it Richard Ricardo? Ricardo Ricardo? Is that his name? Or was it Ricky Ricardo? It's Ricardo Ricardo, isn't it? I think. Dicky Dick, they used to call him. I don't know. I'm not a scholar of that show, but I know it was written by the same three people. And man, they wrote, basically they've written every sitcom since every sitcom is based on an I Love Lucy. That I can prove. If you want to sit down with me, comedy writers, TV writers, you show me what you stole from and I'll show how that was stolen from I Love Lucy. I can do it. It's easy. You just have to admit that you stole your idea. I know you did. You're not lying. Don't lie to me, of all people. Hardy White, lying to Hardy White. It's ridiculous. Did I do one another one? It's not good manners at the very least to eavesdrop on malicious voices if they call your name, because it is unlikely they are addressing you, and even if they are, they are undoubtedly mistaken. That's very similar to the old man one. If men in suit coats and hats walk into the room silently, they may be time traveling and unaware you were even there. This is true. Everything is managed and one is not to worry. This is a lot of these are just true for everything. Any feeling that things are not exactly how they should be is either false or true. It is true in that there is nothing you can do, and it is false because there is no such thing as should. Therefore, an attitude of calm is always appropriate. It is always appropriate to default to calm. Don't get yourself worked up. Because once you're worked up, then you're worked up. It's almost like egg whites. You cannot de-meringue. Right? Once you've meringued, you can't de-meringue. You can't unwhip it. Like Devo said. And that's funny because the de-evolution, but you can't turn it back, can you? And now so many of them are gone. Oh, time marches on. Sometimes I just need to grab my banjo. I think you'd be more entertained by it. I hope I'm in heaven when you get there. I hope I get to see you. I hope I'm in heaven when you get there. I'll be in heaven with you, I think. And when I do, I hope that I have your favorite drink. It is thick and delicious and its color is pink. It's strawberry quick. I ain't gonna argue with you. You're up in heaven, you can get what you want. It's not the kind of strawberry quick you expect. It's a different kind, tastes like everything. Oh, I wish I was in heaven when you get there. And I try to make it a little more comfortable for you. I'll bring your pillow, I'll bring your blanket. I'll bring something that makes you feel tender and comforted. What is that? A lot of stuff from childhood that makes people a little sentimental, a little scared, because they also remember that scared feeling as a child. Now, you don't have to have that anymore. There's nothing to be scared of. You've figured out life. You've probably figured it out early on, but you keep telling yourself you haven't, because it gets so confusing. But you have. You have figured it out. You understand what's happening, I think, at a deeper level. So just try to make it a little more comfortable for everybody else. Try to engage in some palliative care for the non-dying.
We're all dying.
I know. I don't like when people say that.
So, we're all dying.
I know. Don't say that, because some people are super close to being dead. So for them, they're really like super dying. And somebody who's got another 50 years, not so much.
But nobody knows the hour before the Hoon Belt tolls. For it is
I think you're getting the quote mixed up. You just should have stopped right there. Nobody knows the hour.
Of their own
toll.
Toll bell.
No. What that means is nobody really knows when they're going to die. You could get people say, you could get hit by a bus. First of all, I've known a lot of people to die. And you know, you may know somebody hit by a bus. I do not. I do not. I can only think of the woman who wrote Gone with the Wind, Margaret Thatcher. She got hit by a car in Atlanta, but that's easy to do. I think she was stepping on right by the Margaret Atwood home where she lived. And there she, oh, that's why there was no sequel. And then there was a sequel written by someone who didn't know her. Weird. I don't know how she would have known what the story is. Oh, my friends, I feel blessed that we are together. I feel always lucky that I can be with somebody who, and we have an unspoken pact. What is that pact? Say, I will not try to hurt you on purpose. I'm at least do that. You can't be guaranteed that at work. You can't be guaranteed that at church. You can't be guaranteed that at your MMA gym. In fact, I think that the other person is going to try to hurt you. But at least they're being honest about it by saying, I'm going to eat your throat out, is what they would say. Say, all right, you do it. And I think of what my coach always said to me. He would say, and his words still ring in my ear, his words of, finish him! Finish him! Like that. I said, I don't know. But I've tried to focus it against not a person so much or an opponent, but just what I start. You know, finish what I start. And my life has been something I've started. I don't know that I'm responsible for starting it, and nor is my mother, really. It seems like a chain reaction. Looking back, say, well, nobody forced anybody to have sex. Well, you're wrong there. At some point, I think that they did. And maybe back to, you know, we're all descended from Genghis Khan, aren't we? And he was not a nice gentleman. Don't say that. Some people still love him. It's really Genghis Khan or something, like you say, if you really know him. I don't. I'm not friends with any celebrities, really. I'd love to be. If you are a celebrity and you'd like to be friends with me, just, it's HardyWideShow@yahoo.com. And you're going to have to, I would say, offer some proof that you're really a celebrity. Because, you know, some people try to fool me. Say, oh, man, I'm Stuart Margolis. Say, you're not. Also, keep in mind, I don't know a lot of the modern celebrities, and I wouldn't know if I bumped into you. So, don't you know me from TV? So there's a fella that used to be on TV, and he used to, his thing, he was on a show where he'd eat stuff and then throw it up. And I can't remember what the show was called. And he got fired or something. But I just seen him on an ad where he says, hey, I don't know his name, John Smith. He's thinking, hey, I'm John Smith from TV. Steak eater, steak lover. Oh, wow, how about that? From TV. That's a place to be from now. Not any specific, what would I remember you from? Television. Oh, all right, that's great. I was in that once. Just a closed circuit, though. I'm on all the time. I like to take videos of myself, and I put them on the television set and pretend I'm on the television. And the other people are watching me, too. And it gets me so excited to think that strangers are having thoughts about me and changing my life without my permission or without me being there, without even having to really interact with them. I'm just putting myself, say, hey, take my identity and project something on it of yourself like that. Oh, I don't know if I want that. Do I want that? There used to be something called the book, Empty Book, or what was it called? The Nothing Book. That's what it was, called The Nothing Book. And what was that, Hardy? Well, it was a book, and it had a cover on it. Dust jacket says The Nothing Book. And then you open it up, and guess what's in there?
A lot of poems about emptiness.
No, guess what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. It's blank.
Any lines?
No lines, no, because you don't know.
Isn't that just a sketchbook?
Brilliant, isn't it? When I was young, they used to just market things like they could put another label on it. People would buy it.
Empty can of air.
Oh, I want that.
Empty book. Rock in a box.
and we'd buy it all up. Now they have iPods. I don't see the difference, really. But where was I going? So I take one of these books, one of these nothing books, and what I do is I hand it to somebody and I say, "Will you write me a book?" And they say, "Well, why don't you write your own book?" I say, "Well, why don't I do this? Why don't I mostly write my own book, and then you write some of it?" And they say, "Well, believe it or not, if you write all of it, you will also write parts that I've written, because I'm helping to create you. All the who know you and all who meet you help to make you by putting things in your head. And you have some ability to filter what goes into your head, and other things go into your head without your permission. So your head is like a bank account. Others can make deposits, but only you can make withdrawals from your head. Your head is like a bank account. Others, and I said that already. So it is, it's like a bank. I don't know what kind of bank. Is it like savings and loan? Or is it like, what are those kind of co-op ones? Was it credit union? Credit union? What are we talking about? The head, the brain, nothing books? All right, possibilities, rules. What does it mean to write a book? What does it mean to write a book? What does it mean to live a life? What does it mean to come up with meaning? It mean, 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 meaning, meaning, mean, mean, meaning, meaning, mean, mean, meaning, meaning, mean, mean, meaning, meaning, mean. It mean, meaning, mean, mean, median. See what I'm doing? I don't see what I'm doing. I just felt like doing it. It's when you get you've heard that in jazz solos too. Somebody be doing a jazz solos and they'll go, put it fresh, and they'll get like really enamored with doing something over and over again, making a sound or something. And you get stuck on it. I love to do that. I've seen like people just get in love with Ricky Gervais or something. He likes to do that. Just make obnoxious, loud sounds over and over again. It's addicting. It really is. Why? Because I think it's original. It's primal. You get deep down in something in your side. That's the real talking. Is that... I'm going to attempt to say something absolutely true to you. Are you ready? I'm going to say it unverbally. And not just, it won't be empty space or anything. I'm going to make a sound, but I'm going to try to make the sound have meaning. And so, but I can't, the sound can't have context. So I can't say, oh, like the moan will express my longing or something. It's got to be counterintuitive. It has to be a sound that doesn't sound typical of a specific emotion. So I don't want to think about it at all. I just, that's the best I could do. That's all that came out. Isn't that interesting? But you can wind it back or something and listen and say, what was he actually doing there? What feeling did I really get? What is the color, what is International Stein Blue? How does that make you feel? You don't know. Oh, bless your heart for listening to me and sharing this day with me. I love sharing things with you, which is why I don't go to Asian restaurants. I'm embarrassing. With me, I mean. You can go with other people. Who are you listening to? Hardy White. What are you listening to at Upon? Upon, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in blessed Rockland County, or upon the commuter screen at WFMU.org. That's how you can get it. That's how you are listening, one of those ways, or not at all. I thank you so much for sharing in my memories, and that we combine our memories together like that and create some new fragrance or potato chip flavor or poem. And I hope you join me again next week. May this week... Oh, I'm losing my voice. I've lost it already. No, I'm lying. But I want you to go look for it with me. Bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. My friends, I want you to listen in every week, every week. I want to help you. Like I said, you're down and out. If you're suffering bad luck, hard time, you're sick in the relationship, you're sick, my friend, because they're just not doing you right. You're sick because the kids aren't going right. Get on the phone. You make that call. Let us help you. You get that IYB All Natural Herbal Health Tea. Let us help you get that weight off. Let us help you, my friends, put that blood sugar level under control. Let us help you with that gout and arthritis. Let us help you that are diabetic. You that are having prostate problems, let us help you. My friends, this is your good friend here, Reverend Isaiah, along with Shelley. We're going to say this to you. Believe it and receive it. But the moment you doubt, you got to do without. We want to be the one that help you enhance the quality and the length of your life. God bless you.